Welcome to Your Move with Andy Stanley. In this weekly 30-minute podcast, you'll discover how to make better decisions and live with fewer regrets. So check out our website at yourmove.is for additional ways to watch, listen, and connect. Today is the last part in the 4-part series entitled, Taking Responsibility for Your Life. Life isn't fair. When we draw the short straw, we're quick to point that out. We're quick to come up with excuses and deny the responsibilities we've been given, whether we've received much in life or very little. In his message, Andy explains that it's not about how unfair life is. It's really about how we respond. We don't get to choose all the opportunities that come our way, but we do get to choose our responses. Your response ability is up to you.
Well, we're finishing up this series, Taking Responsibility for Your Life, and every time we've been together on this, we've asked a question together, and if this is your first time, you don't have much context for this, so you have to kind of play along, and here's the question we're asking. We're asking, am I taking responsibility for my life? Then we're pausing, and then we're reaching way back to when we were about 13 or 14 years old, and we're grabbing a little adolescent attitude and saying, really? In fact, tonight, since it's our last time, I'd like to do something kind of special just for the ladies. Ladies, because you don't get to express attitude like you did when you were 13 or 14 years old. So I'd like you to do something. Maybe you haven't done it a long time. And men, we don't even know how to do this, but I'm going to try to emulate it for you so you can do it, ladies. Before we do this together, I'd like for you to do this for us just to kind of get the attitude going. I'd like you to do your best. Okay, ready? On the count of three. One, just the ladies. One, two, three. Yeah, okay. Did it feel good? That's like take you back, okay? All right, okay, so let's just say this together. Ready? On the one, two, three. Am I
taking responsibility for my life? Really?
Really? Yeah, yeah. Now, the reason we ask the question and add the really is because everybody thinks they take responsibility for their life. Irresponsibility is very difficult to see in the mirror. But during these 4 weeks together, we've been asking this question at different levels and asking the question, am I really, am I taking full responsibility for my life? Because, as we've discovered, your irresponsibility eventually becomes somebody else's responsibility. That irresponsibility is not a solo thing. Irresponsibility isn't, well, it just affects me, it's my life, I can do whatever I want to. Your irresponsibility will impact the people you are connected with, whether it's in a marriage, family, community, workplace, church, club, wherever it is, wherever you have responsibility and you shirk that responsibility, somebody has to pick it up. So your irresponsibility eventually becomes somebody else's responsibility. So it's important that we take responsibility for our lives. Now, today, as we wrap this thing up, I want to kind of turn a corner and challenge you in a kind of a different way as we conclude. And I want to begin by taking you once again back to your childhood, to something that every child has said at some point. You don't even wait till you're 13 before this one comes out. This is something every child has said in every culture, in every country, through all generations. It's one of those things that is never taught. It's just in humanity. It's in children. And as a parent of three kids, I hear it. As having been a kid myself, believe it or not, I said it. This is something we've all said. We've all looked at our parents or our grandparents or whoever raised us at some point, and we said this. We looked at them in the eye, and we said, that's not fair. That's not fair. To which parents and grandparents of all generations in all countries and in all cultures look right back at their kids or grandkids and said, life's not fair. That's exactly right. Now, isn't that strange? Now, the truth is, you know this, you know that life is not fair, and yet there's something in all of us that wants life to be fair some of the time. And let me just make a confession, and maybe you can't relate to this, but just for me, I'm really only concerned about fairness when my piece of pie is the smallest piece of pie. When I get the larger piece of pie, I could care less about fair. I just say, thank you, God, for your grace in my life, right? What we're really saying is life isn't even. Life isn't even. I think life should be even. But when you use the word even, you realize, well, that's impossible. There's no way for things to be even. Well, there's no way for things to be fair. But here's why this is important. The unfairness of life, the unevenness of life, quickly becomes an excuse for our irresponsibility. But that's not just true of people who got the short end of the stick or the small piece of the pie. This works on the other side of the ledger sheet as well. You know what I've seen? Do you know what you've seen as well? That people who got the larger piece of pie, They got the upside of uneven unfairness. Life isn't fair, and I don't care because look what I have. Life isn't even, life isn't fair, but who cares because, you know, I'm on the winning side of that. People with extra, people with the extra money, the extra time, the extra opportunity, the extra attention, the extra. Do you know what people do with extra stuff? They're irresponsible with it. You know what? The more money you make, the more money you waste. The more time you have, the more time you waste. The more of anything you have that you don't need, the more you waste. I'm only irresponsible with the things, generally speaking, that I have extra of. You see, life is unfair, life is uneven, and I'm on the winning side of that. And if I'm not careful, I will use my extra. I will use the benefit. I will use the fact that I've won. I will use the fact that I'm successful as an excuse to be irresponsible. You see, if you're on the crest of the financial wave, you're on the crest of the relational wave, you married well, you just happened to be related to, you happened to get there at the right time, you were the first one discovered, and things are good for you, if you're not careful, life's not fair, life's not even. And if you're not careful, you will be just as irresponsible as the person who's on the other side of the ledger sheet saying, why try? Because life's not fair, and I got a raw deal. See, this is a big, broad question. Are you taking full responsibility? Are you taking responsibility for your life? Are you taking responsibility for what life has offered you? Because the issue isn't how do we make life fair. The issue isn't how do we make life even. The real question is, what am I going to do with the hand that I've been dealt? What am I going to do with the slice of the pie that I've been handed? What am I going to do with the opportunity that life slash God has given me? That's really the issue. And the more you focus on the unfairness and the unevenness of life, the more you will be tempted to excuse irresponsibility because of what somebody else has or doesn't have. Now, what all that stuff I just said, this is amazing. Jesus taught this. Jesus, you go, wow, that, you know, yeah, Jesus taught it 2,000 years ago. Where have you been? You know, where have we been? 2,000 years ago, this is so cool. This is why you should read your Bible. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, and we're going to be in the book of Matthew if you want to follow along tonight. That's a pretty easy one to find. It's like the first book of the New Testament, okay? So right after that middle part, it's right there to the right. Book of Matthew, chapter 25. Here's what happened. Jesus, as you probably know this, Jesus taught a lot in parables. A parable is a story to make a point. He'd make up these stories. So he's about to tell a story to make a single point about how God, this is so huge, how God views the unevenness of life. And let me tell you about the end before we get there. At the end of the parable, God doesn't try to fix the unevenness and the unfairness of life. God wants us to learn to leverage it, okay? So let's look at this parable together. Matthew chapter 25, we're gonna begin with verse 14, and we're right in the middle of a bunch of parables, so this little section begins with the word again. Again, because here we go again. It's a bunch of parables. Here's what he says. Matthew 25, 14. Again, it, and it is the kingdom of God, if you read the whole context. Again, the kingdom of God, or it, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants, who were really slaves, but don't think Civil War slaves. Think in terms of first century slaves. They married slaves. They freed slaves. Sometimes slaves could earn their way out of slavery. Sometimes they became slaves because they owed the master money. So it's a little bit, you know, less hostile environment. He called his servants and, big word, entrusted his wealth to them. All right, big extreme story. I'm gonna go on a journey. He invites three of his servants, trusted servants, and he decides to entrust all of his wealth to them. Now that probably wouldn't totally ever happen, but again, this never really happened anyway. It's a parable Jesus is making up to tell a story. So the word entrust means this. This master is going to split up his wealth among three servants, and he's expecting those servants to do with his wealth what he would do if he were managing his own wealth. He's not giving them this wealth to protect or to guard. He's giving them this wealth to manage the way a money manager would manage somebody's wealth. Verse 15, to one, he gave 5 bags of gold. Now, the way you may have read this story a long time ago, it said he gave 5 talents. Well, a talent is a measurement of money. Now, what we don't know is this. A talent can be a measure of silver, or it can be a measure of gold. The writers and the editors of the New International Version decided to make it gold, so we'll just go with gold. A talent of gold was worth about 20 years of work for the average day laborer in this culture. To get a talent of gold would be like getting a 20-year payoff if you were a day laborer. So for our discussion, let's just decide that a talent of gold is worth about $300,000, okay? I think that's about $15,000 a year. So he gives to this first servant 5 talents of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to another 1 bag, and then he says this, each according to his ability. Now, this wasn't even, was it? He gave 1 5, he gave 1 2, and he gave 1 1. To which we say, wait a minute, that's not fair. To which Jesus would say, this didn't even really happen. I'm making this up. Take a deep breath. I'm trying to make a point. Oh, okay, it's just I'm making this up. All right. And by the way, what's not fair? Well, and this is important. Well, it's not fair they didn't get the same amount. But is it fair that someone who owns wealth can decide how he distributes it? Well, yeah. So it is fair, but it isn't fair. And one of the lessons in life is this. Everything is fair to someone. You can just think about that. Okay. Into verse 15. Then, after he distributed this wealth unevenly, he went on his journey. Verse 16. The man who had received 5 bags of gold, like $1.5 million, okay? The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once. He didn't waste any time and put his money to work. By putting his money to work, that meant that he went and traded this wealth for other things, I guess, of appreciating value, because the end of the verse says this, and gained 5 bags more. Why? Because he knew that's what his master was expecting of him. He said, I'm giving this to you to manage for me. This guy goes out and does with this wealth what he would envision his master doing, and he doubles the guy's money. Now, to which you say, well, I don't think you could do it that quick. It's a parable. He's making this up. Verse 17. So also the one with 2 bags of gold, $600,000, gained 2 more. So he goes out, now that we find out later, the guy was gone a long time. But he goes out and he doubles the guy's money as well. Verse 18. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, at this point in the parable, Jesus' audience all went, ooh, why would anyone do that? No one would go out and dig a hole and put $300,000 worth of gold in a hole. I mean, even if you're just trying to keep the money safe, there are better ways to keep the money safe. Who would do that? Okay, to which Jesus had said, it's a parable, okay? All right, verse 19. After, and I can't really emphasize this enough, after a long time, you could say after a long, long time, you know, long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, after a long time, they're wondering if he's even going to come back. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, check this out, and settled accounts with them. Settled accounts meant he didn't expect them to bring the gold back and say, we guarded your gold. Settled accounts means he wanted to see what they did with his gold, because he expected them to manage his wealth the way he managed his wealth, and he wanted to see what kind of return they got on his money. They came to settle accounts. Now, verse 20, the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. He couldn't wait for the master to get home. Verse 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with, now here's where Jesus takes us down a different alley, because Jesus is always throwing in a wrench. He's always doing something surprising. You have been faithful with a few things. To which Jesus' audience went, excuse me, that wasn't a few things. That was like a lot of things, okay? 5 talents of gold. Jesus said, hey, just wait. Few things, but I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. He says, you were faithful with a few things. A few is like more than half the guy's wealth. You were faithful with a few things. And since you were faithful with a few things, I am going to put you in charge of many. Great job. Then the man who had received two bags of gold, verse 22, the man who had received with two bags of gold also came and said, Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Wait, time out. The guy with five bags says, wait, okay, you said mine was a few. Now you're saying his is a few. Just hold on. I will put you in charge of many. Wait, that's not fair, okay? Because see, I had five and went to 10. You put me in charge of many. He went from 2 to 4. You're gonna put him in charge of many? That's not fair, that's not even. That's the point of the parable. Come and share your master's happiness. And now, at this point in the parable, if there was a soundtrack, the music would change, wouldn't it? Right? There'd be some dark, ominous kind of music. Because who's next? The guy with the one bag who he's got dirt and mud all over himself because he went and dug that baby up because he heard his master was coming home. You know, he's got in a box over here. And now, here's what you can't really appreciate of what happens next, okay? What happens next is a great illustration of first century whining. This is whining. Now, we can't hear his voice, but this is first century whining. And listen carefully, because as he begins to explain why he buried the money, he very subtly blames the master. This is what irresponsible people do. It's not my fault, somebody else's fault. I'm a whiner, I couldn't help it. Okay, here's what he, sorry to, if you're that way and not being personal, here's what he said. Verse 24, the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man. I knew that you're tough to work with. You're a hard bargainer. You're a tough business guy. Harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. That is, you are a winner take all. You don't leave any crumbs on the table. When you go after something, you get it. You don't take no for an answer. You're a really tough guy to do business with. You're a hard charging, you know, you're wow. You know, you're tough. You're difficult. You're intimidating. So I was afraid because of you. See, I'm about to tell you what I did with your gold, but let me tell you first of all, this is kind of your fault, all right? Because of the way you are. So because of the way you are, I was afraid. A better word might even be nervous. I was afraid, middle of verse 25, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now the reason there's no more than what you gave me is because it's your fault. Verse 26, his master doesn't buy it. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Now, the word wicked can also be translated worthless. And I think that's a better translation because of what comes next and because he couples it with lazy. You worthless, lazy servant. In other words, the master is saying this. You didn't go bury that money because of something you think about me. You wouldn't bury the money because you're lazy. You went and buried the money because you just didn't have enough time. You didn't even think it through. You just did the easiest thing. You took the easiest way out. And now that I'm back, you want to blame me for your own slothfulness and laziness? So you knew, middle of verse 26, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. In other words, he says, if you knew that I'm that difficult to deal with and that I'm looking for any kind of return I can get on my money, then you would have come up with a better plan than burying it. Verse 27, well then, if that's true, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. But oh no, you're too lazy to do even that. And then you want to blame me. See, Jesus, he was great, wasn't he? You're going, I can't imagine Jesus saying stuff like that. Well, it's a story. He's making this up to make a point. And his audience is like, whoa, you know, get him. Now, here's another surprise. Okay, you should read the Bible. Here's another surprise in the parable, verse 28. Now he says to his other servants, take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Wait a minute. That's not fair. I guess that's the point, isn't it? Shouldn't we give it to the guy with the four? Then he'll have the two, then he'll have, you know, five because he doubled, and then he'll have like half, you know, isn't that fair? Give it to the guy that has the 10 bags, verse 29, for those. Now check this out. I got to interpret this for you. This is so cool. For those who have will be given more, which means in this parable, for those who have been responsible with what they have will be given more. And they will have an abundance. As for those who do not have, those that were not responsible for what they did have, even what they have will be taken from them. Verse 30, now closing out the parable. Remember, we're still in a parable. Jesus isn't making a big pronouncement here. We're still in the parable, verse 30. And the master says to his other servants, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You gotta love gnashing, gnashing. Didn't it sound better? Gnashing of teeth, the gnashing of teeth. Now, preachers love this verse. Okay, let me tell you how preachers preach this verse. And my friend, friends, you know, if you don't do this and that and this and that and this and that, you'll be thrown into hell fires where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, that's not the point of this parable, all right? Listen, I could have made that worse. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, listen, this is important. Weeping and gnashing of teeth in the New Testament was a sign of frustration. In fact, if you look up all the different times where Jesus talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth, here's the situation. This guy was on the inner circle. He had, pardon the pun, he had a golden opportunity, right? He had $300,000 or something close to that he could go out and manage for his master. And instead, he totally wasted the opportunity and then he blamed the master. He was on the inner circle. And what this verse means is this. The master says, I want you to take the guy that was on the inner circle and I want you to put him outside in the outer circle where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is a sign of frustration. It's when you make a really bad golf shot and you go, "Ugh!" Okay? Your team does something boneheaded on Sunday afternoon. "Ugh!" You know, you don't weep, but you gnash your teeth. It's a sign of frustration. In the book of Acts, when Stephen was being stoned, he's the first Christian martyr, it says that after he preached this really compelling, convicting sermon, that the people who stoned him, they gnashed their teeth. Well, they weren't in hell. They weren't in pain. They were just like, you know, what do you do with that? So here's this guy who's had this incredible opportunity. He realizes he's blown it. He tried to blame his boss and he's thrown out of the inner circle with all the people that are going, let's say it together. Yeah, they're just weeping and gnashing their teeth. And then Jesus goes on in the next parable. Now, what's his point? His point is this. Everybody gets an uneven amount of opportunity. And everybody gets held accountable for what they do with it. And everybody has the privilege, everybody has the responsibility to somehow, someday, give an account for what they did with their uneven amount of opportunity. And this opportunity that we've all been given, different amounts for different amounts of time, because life's uneven and life's not fair and God's not even trying to make it fair even, this uneven amount of opportunity isn't even ours. It's on loan to us. And the point of the parable is this. You're to look at your bag and decide, how do I leverage this to its fullest? And refuse to either take it for granted because it comes so easy for you that you waste it, or excuse yourself because you don't have what somebody else has. Now, you know what? In my life, I've been so fortunate to know some people who fall into this category who have done some amazing things. And you know what they all have in common with their story? Is that they got finished, and these are men because that's who I hang out with. These are men who kind of finished up financially early. 35, 40, 45 years old, they'd kind of made it, built a company, sold a company, you know, related to somebody, just got lucky, whatever. And all of a sudden they're 40 years old and they've sort of made it financially and they're tempted to think, wow, now I can go to my beach home and just kick back and play a lot of golf. And the guys I'm talking about had a wake-up call one day when they realized, wait a minute, the extra I have is an opportunity. The extra I have is an opportunity that I'm responsible for, and I can't take it for granted. I've got to figure out in the second half of my life how to leverage this to do something for other people, because this wasn't given to me by God to manage for my benefit, but for the benefit of other people. And these people have done some amazing things. I have a friend named Reggie who decided to create an entire organization to go mentor and feed into and build into the next generation of young men in our city. And he raises up leaders to invest in these guys and mentor these guys. It's absolutely incredible. Wrote a book, travels around and does this. Why? Because he has to know, because he realizes, hey, wait a minute. I'm a five bag person, and I am more responsible because I've been given more. I have a friend who went, he's 40 something years old. Actually, he just turned 50, went back to school. He kind of finished up financially, went back to school to get this specialized degree, get this, so he can become possibly an ambassador to a third world country so he can solve poverty in that country. Now, well, after he finishes telling you his goal for his life, you hope he doesn't ask you what your goal is. Honestly, I went with a group of people, and just for fun, I said, hey, share with them what you're working toward. Well, I finished my MBA, and I went to Harvard, blah, 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 blah. Now I'm going to this special deal, and my goal is to become the ambassador. The United States, do you know anybody whose goal is to be a U.S. ambassador so they can solve poverty in another country? No, but you know what? That's what five-bag people do when they understand it's not for me. It's an opportunity I've got to leverage. See, the most important verse in the parable is verse 19 that says this. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. If you take the words of Jesus seriously and you read the rest of the parables, and if you believe there is a God in heaven and that Jesus is his son, then in some way, and I can't explain it, you get to give an account for your life. And it can be an awesome thing as depicted in the parable. Or it can be that moment at the end of your life when you try to excuse yourself because of something you think God did to you and for someone else. Because here's the deal. We all have some time, but we have uneven amounts of time. And we all have opportunities, but we have uneven, unfair amounts of opportunity. And to be a person that can say, I'm taking responsibility for my life, really means I'm an individual that takes responsibility for the opportunities that come my way, really. And I'm not going to take them for granted, and I'm not going to make excuses, and I'm not going to compare myself to the people around me. Because the bottom line is simply this: to whom something is given, something is required. To whom something is given, regardless of how great or small, something is required. And it's when we embrace that, and when we embrace it through the lens of a God who loves us, who is cheering for us, who has empowered us, and who has given us these opportunities, that we begin to be serious about taking full responsibility for our lives, really. And it's my heart's desire that we would be the generation, and that we would be the generation of Christians who get this and get this right.
Thanks so much for listening to Your Move with Andy Stanley. We hope today's podcast will help you make better decisions and live with fewer regrets. So check out our website at yourmove.is for additional ways to watch, listen, and connect. Now it's your move. Do something with what you've heard.